You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Romillo, credentialed reporter and the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. The NBA Finals is right around the corner, and to help preview the series, it's a special crossover edition alongside Anthony Irwin, the host of Locked On Lakers. It's a little bit different of a crossover. It's a two-parter. Part one will air here. Part two, our continuing conversation, will be on Locked On Lakers. So make sure you listen to both to get a full preview of the impending NBA Finals matchup with the Los Angeles Lakers, LeBron James. We'll talk a little bit about Heat culture, the path to the finals for the Miami Heat, and of course, LeBron's motivation against Miami. So here, without further ado, is part one of my crossover preview with the host of Locked On Lakers. NBA Finals are set to begin in just a couple of days, and here to help me break it down is Anthony Irwin, the host of Locked On Lakers. How are you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing good. For a second, I thought I hosted Locked On Heat, and I just thought I'd been doing the wrong show for the last few years.
Well, there are some similarities between the two teams, so it makes a lot of sense. Some history there with a key player. I'm sure something we'll talk about a little bit more. Were you surprised at Miami's run? I mean, I think a lot of people expected the Lakers to be a title contender. I know there was another team in Los Angeles that might have had designs on the crown, but obviously the Lakers were the favorites, I think, through most of the regular season. Miami, not so much.
Yeah, I think this kind of works to Miami's benefit, not to take away from Miami's run, where it's been incredible. I've really enjoyed this kind of throwback idea that Butler is not always the best player, but does set a tone. And I think that tone of confidence and just brute force in some moments and just outright work ethic mixed with what Pat Riley already brings to the table and the culture that Eric Spoelstra has instilled, it makes for a really, really cool story. But the Lakers, I would be shocked if they thought they'd be seeing the Miami Heat in this situation. They probably prepared all season for the Bucks first and foremost in the finals round if they were to get there. And if they're going to get there, it probably wasn't going to be through the Nuggets that they envisioned. And even if it wasn't Bucks, it was, maybe it was the Raptors, a former champion. And then maybe it was maybe Boston or Toronto. But the Heat kind of coming out of nowhere makes for a really kind of cool wrinkle where I think both teams, because all that said, I don't think Miami is really prepared for this because I don't think they would have kind of thought that this is where the season was going to wind up. So it was really
I disagree.
You think
there.
So? Yeah. You think
yeah,
so?
Yeah. I think outside expectations notwithstanding, internally from the coaching's perspective, the move at the trade deadline was a strong indicator of how they saw this team. Maybe there were some surprises at first with how Jimmy's fit was so seamless and that they started playing a level and type of basketball that they had not been able to employ in previous years. But once that started becoming much more obvious that this was a team that could shoot from the perimeter, that could make plays for others, that had a number of playmakers at every position, of course, spearheaded by Bam Adebayo's development. And then all of a sudden you start to realize, well, this is a team that's actually pretty good. And then you make the move to trade away a young player in Justice Winslow that might have a future in Miami. And maybe you get a little tired of having on the roster because he's been going through injuries and maybe he's not developing at the pace necessary for him to be a factor this season. And you acquire 36-year-old veteran Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill, guys who had struggled to get any kind of consistent playing time in Memphis and maybe hadn't been much of a factor offensively. Those moves are strong signs that they believe that they were title contenders. So, I mean, they've been pretty consistent about that. I remember even, and I've mentioned this to my audience before, but I interviewed Myers Leonard in, I want to say late March or early April, right after the season began the hiatus. And his biggest disappointment about the season ending, because at that point in time, obviously nobody thought it would resume anytime soon. Myers said his biggest disappointment was that they were a title contender, and he was just, you know, bummed out that they wouldn't be able to actually prove it because they had so many different aspects that worked so well, from defense to offense to coaching to camaraderie and chemistry, et cetera. And so, again, I think they really do see themselves that way. So, yeah, I think that the challenge of overtaking whatever opponents they had to face in the Eastern Conference to get to this point, maybe they handled it a little bit more easily than some might have expected, maybe even a little bit more easily than they expected. But the goal was to go and win a championship. And maybe that was far-fetched, but that was still the goal. They don't see themselves as anything else. I mean, I know in seasons past they haven't been very good, and it kind of feels like that same vibe that you get at Media Day where everybody's a title contender despite the fact that, you know, somebody's going to have like barely double-digit victories over the course of the season. But it's just – they really see themselves and saw themselves all season long as title contenders.
Yeah, I guess I meant more from the outset of the season. Because like, even the most optimistic person, Miami fan or whatever, like Tyler Hero is special, you know. And you know, if the second best or third best, and sometimes, you know, in some of these games, the best Miami Heat player being a rookie, that doesn't usually tell me, okay, yeah, that guy is going to be leading a team though that knows that this is the year that they were going to make this kind of a run. The one thing I'll give Miami credit for is that a lot of teams, like you say, will treat that as word service, right? Lip service to, yeah, the goal for everybody is to win a championship, and we feel like we have just as good a chance as anybody. And then you look at the way that year goes, and that team doesn't put in the work necessary with actually backing that up. In this case, if Miami thought that that was a goal, or that was a feasible goal, one thing you know you're going to get with that organization is the work ethic necessary to make such a goal come to fruition. And here they are, you know, and I don't mean, again, to take away from that. I just think for the Lakers, from where they're sitting, they're like, I mean, I guess we got to go back through and find all of our Miami Heat video and find everything that we possibly can on this team. And even there, it's tough to do so there, because Miami, just like Denver in the previous series, Miami is a pretty different team than I think a lot of people thought heading into this bubble. And they've really, they you know, Jay Crowder is all of a sudden like Ray Allen reincarnate. And it's just a very different, very difficult team to kind of scout for here because of how little data the Lakers probably have on them. So it's a fun matchup. I really can't wait to get to it just because there's so many things that both teams do that give the other team issues. And it's just a matter of and two coaches, by the way, who came up in very much of the same ways, two coaches that you know are going to work tooth and nail to figure out every and any adjustment they can make over the course of the 7-game series. It's a really cool matchup between these two teams.
Anthony and I will get back to you in the next segment where we'll talk a little bit about LeBron James and some of the revenge he might be seeking against the Miami Heat. You're listening to the preview edition of Locked On Heat. With an ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible to stock all the parts you might need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure pointless or intimidating questioning while the person behind the counter orders parts you're looking for on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can choose from hundreds of manufacturers on their easy-to-use site, and you'll get everything you need with just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Why would you spend more for the exact same parts at a chain store or at a car dealership? Rockauto.com's low prices are the same for everybody. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Then go to their How Did You Hear About Us section and enter Locked On so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. That's rockauto.com. Continue safely supporting restaurants in your community. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. And you can lend your support just by using DoorDash. Ordering is easy. You just open the DoorDash app, find your favorite restaurant, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. It's the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. To subscribe to the show on your favorite app to listen to podcasts and always get the latest episodes by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat when you get in your car to get your team every day. My continuing conversation with Anthony Irwin, the host of Locked On Lakers.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what adjustments Eric Spoelstra makes, if any, because I think maybe it's being a little overly touted, but it seems like a lot of people think that he did a really great job out coaching Brad Stevens and, of course, Mike Budenholzer the previous round. And I think Eric Spoelstra has long been known as a very, very good coach. And having had a number of run-ins with Frank Vogel previously during their playoff mm-hmm. tenures, I understand that there's going to be, you know, some adjustments necessary. But I'm also curious to see, like you said, how these teams kind of prepare, because they're, well, let's say from Miami's perspective, clearly they've made changes. What about from the Lakers side? Have they been a different team in the bubble? I mean, I think a lot of people would point, obviously, to changes in the starting rotation and everything else like that. But how else have they changed as far as taking a necessary leap in the playoffs to become the best version of this team possible?
Well, I think in terms of like out-and-out changes, the identity has remained the same. Even though you lose Avery Bradley and even though they tried out, they tried taking a trip to Deion Waiters Island. And even if they tried to bring in J.R. Smith, like the identity is basically LeBron and AD are going to be the engine, rudder, transmission, steering column, like everything that the car is going to need to run. Those guys are going to produce that and generate that. And then it's on everybody else to just defend their butts off. And I think that's basically the way that they have approached not just the bubble, but especially this postseason, where there are times when the Lakers are really kind of geared in and really focused on the minutiae that it takes to defend playoff caliber teams and conference title type teams and now NBA Finals caliber type teams. Like it takes a lot to figure those things out, and to the Lakers' credit, especially the role players, they have done that, and it's allowed LeBron and AD to go out there on the offensive side of the ball and do the kind of things that you would expect from players of that tier.
Now you caught into a little bit, well, maybe not a little bit of hot water, but I think your tweet from earlier today, we're recording this on a Monday afternoon. Some comments you made regarding the talent disparity between the two teams, I think, is getting some attention from Heat Twitter, which, you know, take that for what it is. I think all fan bases can be a little irrational at times, but your point was that obviously you have the two most talented players, the two best players on the Lakers side of things in between LeBron and Anthony. And then on the other side of things, maybe there's a huge gap between Davis and the third best player, whether it's Jimmy or Bam Adebayo. And I think it started from a tweet from Matt Moore asking about where to rank the top 10 players in the series, a difficult mm-hmm. process, but do you really think AD is that much better a player than Bam Adebayo at this point?
They're different players.
For sure.
This is where I get. So my point was basically that Miami would say after LeBron and AD, you could probably list five Miami players before most people bring up another Lakers player. And, you know, I wanted to start first and foremost on that point by saying like, yeah, but those two players at the top of that list, that's how these series usually are won. That's how things play out historically speaking in NBA championships. Now the Detroit Pistons would probably like a word with that. There have been plenty of other teams that, you know, not plenty. There are certainly outliers to every rule, but for the most part, historically speaking, when you have the two best players in a series, that usually is a pretty sizable advantage for the other team to have to overcome. Now, regarding Bam and AD, I think Bam is a super special player. I think he does a lot of the things that, you know, he's kind of this prototype of the future of that position. AD was Bam before Bam in a lot of ways. And it's going to be fascinating to see those guys go at it. Although I'm not sure how much the Lakers are really going to have AD guarding Bam. I think they prefer to have him kind of play rover all over the court,
yeah,
and let, you know, Dwight Howard or JaVale McGee kind of take the one-on-one matchup there until the situation really calls for some kind of a shift. But yeah, like to answer the question, I would say that if AD is a 10 out of 10 player at that position, I'd probably put Bam at like a 8.5 or an 8. Do you think that seems, am I too low on Bam there?
It's hard to gauge because I think it's a fun exercise to measure any player's worth based on what they do on the offensive end. And while Bam is certainly capable of big nights like he had in game 6 to close out the series against the Celtics, he is not necessarily always focused on scoring, nor is he always as aggressive as Heat fans mm-hmm. would like. So he can be a little passive looking for a shot. Now, his outside shot, and by outside, I mean like mid-range shot, has been a thing of beauty in the postseason. Like he's been very, very good in the bubble and more willing to let go from 15 to 18 feet, something that we did not see prior to the hiatus. Not very often anyway. So at least he's expanding his range a little bit. That being said, you know, there's so much that he does do well. The ability to guard 1 through 5, to not just guard, but effectively shut down 1 through 5. I mean, he has made a strong case for being the best defender in the bubble. And I think, I mean, there's lots of different players that might be able to fit that category, but Bam certainly has to receive consideration for it. On top of that, his playmaking ability is such a huge factor to Miami's offense because he can make the smart pass. He's a very, very good passer. I think a better passer than Davis in that regard anyway. And his dribble handoff with Duncan Robinson was such a huge component of what made this offense so fluid over most of the regular season. Now, it's been targeted by opposing defenses during the postseason, so I don't know how the Lakers will be able to shut that down and whether or not they'll have the personnel to limit Duncan Robinson's looks, but it's as deadly an individual two-man game as you're going to find those two working together, because if you try to cover Duncan and take away his three-point shot, then that leaves a pretty open lane for an incredible athlete in Adebayo. And so, I mean, there's a lot to it there. As far as the disparity between him and Davis, you know, it is really difficult to assess. I'll be 100% honest with you. I think Davis is clearly a more impactful player, and he certainly is a much more productive one. But Adebayo does so many of those little things well that while he isn't as productive necessarily, he does change the course of the game because of all those other things that he does well. So I don't know. Maybe that's not a great answer, but it's the most realistic one I can give. We'll wrap up part one of the NBA Finals preview with the host of Locked On Lakers, Anthony Irwin. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat, or send me a message via direct message on Twitter. Here is my last segment of this episode, part one of my special NBA Finals preview with Anthony Irwin, the host of Locked On Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, what's Bam? How old is he at this point? He's like
23.
So, like, I don't think it's – I feel like it's taken a lot more pejoratively – then it necessarily has to be that to say that Bam at 23 years old isn't as good, or there's a decent gap between him and Anthony Davis, who has a couple more years in the league on him and was the better prospect coming out of college. So I think there were things that Bam does, like you said, the passing that Bam offers, like one of my major frustrations watching Anthony Davis since he came to the Lakers has been how he handles double teams and how the Lakers don't always take full advantage of a team having to double team Davis because of the lack of fundamentals he has in passing the ball out of those situations. You watch Bam, and I don't think he generates as many double teams just heading into the matchups that AD does. But if he does, you're almost working into his skill set. Right. And I think that's something that Bam has a major advantage over Davis. But like the other thing too, that I think we kind of have to keep in mind here is AD also has LeBron making Anthony Davis a better player. While I think Davis is already, you know, more talented than Bam, what AD and LeBron are capable of doing together on a basketball court, like, in my opinion, I said it on yesterday's Locked On Lakers, I think we're starting to see kind of the birth of one of these. Now, it's going to be short-lived because of where LeBron is at his career, but one of the best tandems that the league has ever seen, not just in terms of individual talent that both guys bring to the table, but also in terms of what both guys do for each other's games. AD is a finisher in all of these situations and also can clean up some of the mess that LeBron leaves at this stage of his defensive career. AD is one of the best facilitators that we have ever seen in the NBA. And then, you know, can also obviously score for himself. And so the way that those guys kind of play together, I didn't get to that in the tweet, but that's something else that we kind of have to keep in mind here. When you're just listing players, you lose some of that context there. Even while, by the way, like I agree that to this point, consistently speaking, guys like obviously Bam we talked about, and obviously Jimmy Butler, but Goran Dragic is probably playing some of the best basketball of his career. The Lakers don't have anybody at the position, playoff Rondo notwithstanding, who's playing at that level. We already kind of alluded to Tyler Hero and what he's doing as a rookie is special, but in any context, what he is doing is really special. And then obviously Duncan Robinson is somebody I'm legitimately concerned about, because the way Miami wins this series is by winning the math equation, just hitting more three-pointers than the Lakers shoot and not allowing the Lakers to generate more possessions to make up for that scoring gap. So, you know, while those guys are all very good, I would say the way I would probably put it is the gap between AD and Bam is bigger, in my opinion, than the gaps between those role players on Miami and the top end role players on the Lakers, and also the gap between AD and Bam is a little bit more important given how historically these series have been won. I would be a bold-faced lie to say that I have spent hours and hours and hours, you know, going through tape of Miami. So there are some things that I might just be speaking out of hand on. And if that is the case, I look forward to Heat Twitter reminding me that over the course of the series.
Well, I mean, you bring up great points, and I understand what you're saying in terms of the historical context. And given all that, and I know it comes across as very homerish of me to say this, but Miami's run has been so atypical in that they do lack that superstar player. I mean, you would think that Jimmy has been the best player of this team all season long, and he's obviously the biggest name on this team. But they don't always need him to play at his mm-hmm. very best offensively in order to win. And that can fall on anybody. And we've seen that over the course of this postseason run, where they've had Duncan Robinson come up big. They've had Goran Dragic, Tyler Hero, Bam. I mean, it's just hard to predict on a night-to-night basis who's going to have the hot hand and who's going to be able to provide that kind of impact. And everybody else is going to find a way to chip in. Now, one of Miami's strengths has been their depth all season, but Spoelstra has done a pretty good job of, you know, shortening that rotation as you would expect him to do. And he's not mm-hmm. playing, he's not going as nearly as deep as you might expect, even with all the changes he's made to the starting lineup. So it's interesting in that sense that yeah, maybe there is top-end talent that certainly skews in Los Angeles' favor. But given that, Miami has a number of players who can always find a way to be the best player in a game, if not necessarily in a series. Because there's going to be a night where Tyler Hero could be outplaying Davis, you know, to some degree. And there's going to be a night where Bam is outplaying Davis. And if that's the case, then all of a sudden that talent disparity might not be as marked as it is right now.
So that's all for part one. Make sure to listen to part two of this NBA Finals preview with Anthony Irwin by downloading Locked On Lakers and listening to that preview. It'll be a great conversation that will continue over there. Of course, I'll be talking to some other national media members throughout the week, getting their perspective. We'll have a special crossover edition with Giancarlo Navas, the host of Miami Heat Beat. And of course, I'll be recapping games one and two later on this week. So make sure to check those out. And what better way to do that by subscribing and following this podcast to get the latest episodes as soon as they're out. I'm David Ramil, signing off and thanking you as always for your support.